You know what, though? I'm very grateful for all our team. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot do what we do if we don't all pitch in.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes. So, parking, for example, next week. You know, we have just over 100 of us on team that makes all of our Sunday services work. We do actually need a couple more people to fill a few spots in our kids team and our service team. So if you're keen to join team, if you'd like to be forced to come to church once a month because you're on roster and you'll feel like you're letting someone down if you don't, as a joke, you're not actually forced ever to do anything. But you would let your team down, so, you know, you catch what I'm saying, like the drift. So, you know, it's a really good way to be accountable, to come to church at least once a month. Then you know you're at least showing up 12 times a year. That's a good thing. Hey, praise God. Some giggles from some people there. Yes. This stuff doesn't just happen, my friends. It's a little easier now. We're in the cinema. We set up the entire thing. And we got good at it. We could do it in 40 minutes, set up an entire church. And I actually think in the not too very distant future, we're actually going to be doing that again. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm not saying all of you, by the way, but some of you, if you want to help me plan a church, I think it's time that we pioneer again and just go for it. And because you know what? We can only cram so many people and so many services in this place until it gets awfully uncomfortable. But that's okay. We'll make it work. Hey? Yes, house of God, and I will never stand at the front door and turn someone away and say we're full. I will just get people to sit on the floor or stand in the aisles, or we'll do whatever it takes. Amen. Can I just encourage you with a couple of things around provision for the vision before I preach this morning? Let me inspire you with this. Jack made a really good statement in his update of the journey that we're going through with provision for the vision, that it's not about even the now, but it's about the future. You think for many of us, we've walked into this place having had nothing to do with setting it up. But we come in and we enjoy church, we receive from God, and then we go out and do what God's called us to do. Like our Sunday gathering is our platform for our week. It sets us up. We come having thought of ways to encourage each other. That's what Hebrews 10 says. And then we do that. We do the motivating of each other into acts of love and good works. And that's the purpose of the gathering, among many other things, of corporate worship and communion and praise and encouragement and prayer. And so let me encourage you that as we steward what we've received as a group of people and then set it up for the next generation, that's how church continues to grow. And so many of you know the story of Moorfield, Lily. Lily, a wonderful lady over in another church, gave a massive check, and that's what started Moorfield, which is pretty cool. And so today I wanted to inspire us. What could we do if we all chip in together? What could we do for the kingdom of God? What could take place? A couple of my personal heart thoughts around our property here. I would love for us to be able to build a playground out the front so that kids will be able to play. They don't only have their kids' rooms or kids' church. We'll have somewhere safe, fenced off, nice fun playground afterwards. I would love to do a facade upgrade of our building out the front. Just a more attractive place to bring people into the house of God. Maybe even a cafe expansion, more seating, more bench tops, things like that. But that's a inside the thing. That's to help make this place more functional and flow and a place where we can continue to grow and bless the community, not just on Sunday, but all week long as well. And then there's the mission. Then there's the mission field. What could we do? Could we plan another location? Could we send 50 people from each of our services to start another Moorfield Campus B? That's also on my heart at the moment. We got Moorfield Campus A. Let's start Moorfield Campus B. Like, why not? Another front door to the house of God and activate a whole bunch of people and their gifts, and let's get serving and growing. And, you know, could it be more local mission? Could it be more national mission? Whatever it is, when we all put together, that's what happens. Does God need our money? No, but He invites us into the building of the kingdom. And that's what it's all about. I mean, you've probably heard preachers say, you know, it's God's will, it's God's bill. Well, that's very true. But God tells us to take the passion in our heart and the faith in our mind and to transfer it into acts of good works, to transfer it into action. And so this would be my encouragement to you. As an individual or a couple or as a family, this week, pray genuinely about this to God and say, God, what would you have us give? You might use some thoughts, you know, how many hours' wage could I give in to the expansion of the kingdom of God? You might think, how many hours could I work that I could give that into the expansion of the kingdom of God? Maybe you could work a day's wage and that's what you give in to the expansion of God. And don't think, oh man, my part won't really matter, like God's got it covered anyway. No, it does, because when we all add it in together, it becomes something that progresses the kingdom of God. So I want to pray again this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you have blessed us with. And Lord, as we bring a portion of that in, Lord, I pray that it would truly multiply, and God, that we would see your kingdom advance. Lord, that people would come to know you, that they know that you are real, that you love them, that you're for them, you're not against them. And so God, I pray that you would inspire us, Lord, to trust in you, to see souls saved, Lord, even in our own families, our friends, our work colleagues, the people of this community, God, that this place would be known as a place of miracles, that this place would become the hub of the community, Lord, that your church, and not just ours, but all the churches, Lord, that they would continue to grow and expand and overflow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. This morning I have entitled the message, I'm so excited to preach this one to his church, Cry Out Again. Cry out again. And as I was praying for us, this word came to me just over a week ago that we would place our faith in Jesus. Sometimes we start to place, without even realizing, we start to place our faith in ourselves. We start to think, no, I can do this. I can work this out at work. And okay, I can do this and it'll sort things out in my body. And, you know, I've got this issue and I'm going to conquer it. I'm going to get this resource. I'm going to apply that practical outworking of that principle. And then I'm going to do this. And sometimes we can literally, week in, week out, we can live our lives void of God's will being outworked. We cannot do the true work of God that he has for us to do without him. And if we are, then I would put to you that you haven't accessed yet all that God's got for you. Because you can't do it without him. Jesus himself said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so if you are achieving, if you are successful in your life and you are not needing God to do it, then I would encourage you, get excited, because there's actually a whole nother level that God's got for you that will scare you, and you cannot do it without God. That's when you know it's the will of God. That's when you know that it's not just a career that you're progressing, but it is the calling of God on your life. And so if you haven't been crying out to God recently, And I'm not even just talking, you know, when we cry out to God for the things that we need, but the things that we want, the desires, the call of God on our life. Come on, we are not just put here to live a meaningless life of mundane daily grind, go to work, do this, get home, mow the yard, you know, get up on Monday again, go to work. No, you go to work to serve the Lord. As Christians, we do all things as if we do it unto the Lord. And so if you haven't been crying out to God for the purpose on your life, I would encourage you to cry out again. Because come on, we need to activate the faith in our lives. I want to build this whole message around the passage that just rung so true to me in the prayer time for us, Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to read it to you. It'll be on the screens. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And many of you would know this, but let me read it. It says this. They then reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. We'll get to that later. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. I love this guy. He's my type of guy. "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up." Don't you love those people, hey? With you when it's going good and against you when it's not going so good. Love them. It's all right. They said, "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" As if it's not obvious, but there is so much in this stretch. Come on. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. All right, there's Old Testament promises where we see people crying out and holding on, not for minutes, not for days, not for weeks, not the microwave generation that you and I live in. Oh my gosh, I was watching this roller door close yesterday. I'm like, this is so slow. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Joe, it's a roller door. You're not even having to pull the thing down. I was like, oh, come on, Joe, get out of that. Old Testament promises, they took decades. Come on, and some of them haven't even seen the promise. We're living in the promises of some of the Old Testament promises. Come on. And the New Testament miracles, people had to push in and cry it again. But I love that this story shows us that this man knew who to cry out to. This man knew where to go to see his miracle come to pass. By this time that Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus, this is a part of Jesus' final journey up to Jerusalem. Now, I've been going over this part of the scripture a lot, but there's so much in all the different moments. You can read it 1,000 times and you see something different every time. As I was reading that, you're probably like, oh, I hope he preaches on this point. Well, I might not preach on the point that you want to preach on, but can I tell you, the Holy Spirit will preach to every single one of us today if you open your ears and listen to what he has for you. By this time, Jesus, coming through the Jericho moment, he had demonstrated authority over all sickness, demons, death, and nature. He'd fed multitudes miraculously, twice, raised at least 3 people from the dead, and recently, and this is the big one, recently he had performed the miracle, the most public display of his ultimate power, when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And this was causing a massive stir amongst all of the local region. And can I tell you, they had a wonderful grapevine, the Jews. They were able to spread the news really, really fast. They didn't need the stories that all you guys scroll through all the time. They had a wonderful way of getting this out. "Son of David, have mercy on me." That statement invoked faith within that man, because it's a messianic statement. The Messiah would come from the lineage of David, and he would also sit on his throne. So this man was proclaiming something that was prophetic, something that was messianic. He was putting his faith in the Messiah, Son of David. And he heard, oh, this is Jesus of Nazareth that's coming by. I've heard about this guy, because he hadn't seen him, okay? He had heard about him, yes, and he's coming by. Faith comes by how? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Not TikTok, not Instagram, not Facebook, not YouTube, not your cousin, not even your own opinion, okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's throw that next slide up for me, team, please. Have a look at some thoughts I've put together for us today. We need to have faith that's louder than the haters. Now, in this moment, all these guys, hey, he's crying out, "Son of David!" Now, these guys, why are they following Jesus? Because they wanted to see another miracle. Now, if you're putting 2 to 2 together, like if someone's yelling out with some faith like that, you'd be, oh, Jesus, another opportunity over here. I mean, that's what I would have been doing, but oh, be quiet, you know, trying to get this guy to quiet down. Have a think of this. When the devil whispers to you and tells you it can't happen, what do you say? Come on, cry out again. When you get a weak prayer response from someone you're looking for faith in, come on, what do? Cry out again. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Just cry out again all the louder. Let me give you some thoughts on how you can defend yourself against the haters? Well, the Bible gives us the answer, and is the Bible itself, and we get given the whole armor of God to put it on so that we can withstand every attack of the enemy. Shield, faith. How do we grow our faith? Hearing by the word of God. Bible. Take your sword, sword of the spirits, the word of God. Where will you get the word of God? The Bible. You're going to catch something in a minute. The helmet of salvation. What tells us that we are saved? We protect our mind, put on the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. Well, where does the real truth come from? We shed our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness. Where do we find all of this stuff out? Yes, you said it. The Bible. So we got to go to the Bible. And if we're not reading the Bible every day, and if we're not putting the word of God into us, how are we going to have something to hold on to cry out to, again, filling our mind with so many different things? And even if we're not intentionally filling our mind by not reading the Bible, our mind is being filled and our faith will start to dissipate and we will become weak as Christians, and we won't see faith being stirred up in our life. We have to get into the Bible. See, when we get this right, we're going to start making a difference in the lives of those around us, because you're going to see something and you're going to have the faith, because you would have just read about a miracle that morning, or you went to sleep with something going on in your mind about how the goodness of God, you know, is always faithful and always comes true. And then the situation that you were going to fall to sleep to, where it was going to suck the energy out of your sleep and you were going to wake up unrested and in a position where you're like, oh no, not another day. But rather you go to sleep having the word wash over your mind just before you fall asleep, and you wake up and you're like, come on, let's go, devil. Guess who just woke up? Me. And I read the Bible last night and I'm going to read it again because I'm going to fill my life with the truth. Come on, who told you you wouldn't make it? Come on, who told you the answer was somewhere else? Who told you that the Bible didn't speak to your health issue, parenting issue, relationship issue, living affordability issue, boss issue, friend issue, sin issue, investment issue? The Bible has an answer to every single one of those issues and more. And I can promise you that. And if you want to challenge me on that, send me a text and I'll get back to you with a Bible verse that speaks to your very issue. Come on. Let's have a look at this next thought. The environment we put our mind in will determine the level of faith we have to believe with. So if your mind is in an environment that is pulling you down or making you worry, why would you be able to have the faith to get through it? You got to put your mind in an environment. Jack, with that brilliant illustration last week, to put yourself, our lives, in the right environment to be washed clean. It's the same with our mind, that it would be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. How? Because of the Bible. Let's have a look at this thought here. For Bartimaeus, he throws off his cloak. So he's like, I'm letting go. I'm not holding on to the past. This has been my identity, a blind man. And he throws off his cloak. He's like, I don't want that life anymore. And he's going to Jesus. He's activating faith in this moment. They tell him to be quiet. He cries out all the louder, having faith that refuses to be silenced, whether by the reality of the situation, come on church, or a lie from the enemy, or by a well-meaning, well-intentioned person around you. Come on, just don't be rude, but just smile and wave. Oh, thank you for your concern. Please pray for me in Jesus' name, amen. And you move on and get your head back into the faith prayer that you have been praying. You know, Bartimaeus no doubt would have had previous opportunities to encounter Jesus, because this wasn't the first time that Jesus went through Jericho. This was a well-traveled road. It was the road that you would take from the Galilean region to be able to get up into Jerusalem. And so why this time? I don't know. Did the Holy Spirit stir something within him that this was Jesus's last journey? Or is this the moment where he's like, oh, I should have cried out last time. I didn't. You know, those moments where you feel like you've missed it. Well, I just want to encourage you. Don't miss your moment. But it's okay. God loves you. He'll give you another one. But why wait for the next one? Why not take this moment? The faith that had been stirred within Bartimaeus was at that tipping point. So let your faith be made known and cry out again. Can I please have the keys come back up? Don't listen to the haters. Don't be rude. Just accept their lack of faith and just let it fall right off of you. And you decide, no, that's not what my Bible says. That's not who my God is. That's not the faith that I carry. And pray again. So get your word. Hold on to your word. Pray your word. Cry your word out again and keep on crying out until you see it come to pass. Have a look at this. Next thought. Don't give up. Breakthrough is the reward of your persistence. Come on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Check this out. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. God will not be mocked. God's word will not be mocked. Don't be misled. You will harvest what you plant. So, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit of God will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So, let's not get tired of doing good, of doing what is right at just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Come on, like Joseph. Think about his story. Hey, gets a dream from God and it doesn't get better. It gets worse. And then the next part gets even worse. And the next part gets worse. Like the trajectory of this guy's life is worse to worse to worse. Like it's only getting worse. You think about it. Hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold, and then put into slavery. And then when it just looks like maybe things are starting to work out and he could maybe live it up in Potiphar's house as, you know, the number one slave, is still slave. What happens? Gets wronged, wrongly accused, put down, beaten. Come on. Like I sometimes feel like it, you know, in life you go, man, what about the little people, God? You know, what about the little people? It's like, why do we feel like we get ground down sometimes when it's so tough? It gets worse. Now he's in prison. And not like a nice Australian prison, okay? An Egyptian prison for 2 years. I think about this. Could you imagine the day before Pharaoh had a dream? Come on, what started with the dream, ended with the dream? Come on, God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's up to. Imagine the day before Pharaoh was set to have the dream from God that Joseph gave up on him. All right, God, I'm done. I don't want to be a child of God anymore. I'm out. You've had long enough. It's been 1 year, 364 days. I quit. But one more sleep, one more moment. 2 years in an Egyptian prison, and then Pharaoh has a dream that no one else can interpret. And God unlocks Joseph. Can you see that he's going down, 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 and then yet right at the end, he is so close. Like it's one more sleep. And then he goes from the lowest of the low to 2IC of the superpower of the world. Imagine the woman who was caught in that moment of opportunity, the one that had struggled with an issue of bleeding for 12 long years, like not even something that was of an outside circumstance of career pathway or something going on in someone else's life like Joseph. No, no, this was something going on in her own body, weak and struggling and outcast and unclean and not able to be who she wanted to be, physical pain for 12 years. Imagine if she decided just before Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, oh yeah, look, there he goes, off to heal someone else. I've tried everything, I've prayed, why would God do it this time? Come on, church, don't give up. Cry out again. Come on, this morning, would you repeat some statements after me this morning? We're going to cry out again together, and I want you to repeat these, and I want you to repeat them with some boldness and some loudness, and I want you to put some gusto in them. I want you to declare these statements of truth this morning over your mind, over your body, over your circumstance, over your situation, so you're not distracted by the incredibly good-looking person that you chose intentionally to sit next to you. Would you close your eyes right now? Come on, repeat these statements after me. I am loved. I am chosen. I am a special possession. I am called. I have a future. There is hope. I am healed. I am saved. Jesus is the answer. I choose Jesus. I will follow Jesus. I will serve Jesus. I will love others. I will give up my life for Jesus. I will change the world around me. Come on, church, keep your eyes closed this morning. Would you focus your heart on Jesus? Come on, you are so loved. You are so precious. Come on, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were born at the right time. He loves you. He knows what you're going through. There's destiny on your life. There is purpose on your life. Come on, He is for you. He is not against you, and you are going to make it. Come on, you are going to see your breakthrough. And if you haven't yet, I can tell you, church, come on, the best is yet to come. If you haven't seen the good yet, it is just around the corner. Whatever time that takes, can I encourage you to place your faith in Jesus? Because come on, your answer will come from no one else or nowhere else. This morning, would you stand to your feet? Jesus. You think about this, there was nothing sexy about Bartimaeus in that moment, crying out to Jesus, attracting attention and distracting the moment that was going past. There was nothing dignified about the woman with the issue of blood having to push through a crowd that had rejected her and isolated her. Pushing through, getting down at the last minute onto her knees in the dirt just to be able to reach out and to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. Come on, there was no pride to be seen when the woman came in and poured the alabaster jar over Jesus and anointed his feet and wept tears and dried them with her hair. Come on, they were ordinary people who put their trust in Jesus, and God responds as he always does at just the right time. So would you remind yourself again, come on, who your God is? Come on, would you cry out again? Would you believe again? Come on, let me pray for us this morning, and would you join me as we pray? And let's pray right now for the people in our lives. Let's pray for our bodies. Let's pray for our minds. Come on, why don't you take a moment to just plead the blood of Jesus? Come on, why don't you even place a hand, if it's appropriate, on the shoulder of the person next to you? Come on, let's just turn this place into a little prayer meeting right now for a moment. Pray for yourself. Pray for the person standing next to you. Dear Jesus, we love you and we need you, and we can't do what you have asked us to do without you. And so God, we are praying, Holy Spirit, would you remind us, bring to our remembrance the truth of the Word of God, that you would fill our life. Lord, that you are faithful and you are trustworthy. God, you have not forsaken us. You will always be with us. So Lord, we are asking again for healing to overflow in our bodies in the name of Jesus. God, we just declare your blood right now over this place in Jesus' name. Lord, we are asking for salvation to come over our homes. Come on, would you cry out, parent, if you've got a young one that doesn't know Jesus personally, Lord, that we would see them bend the knee, give their life to you, remind them of a moment at a youth night or a Christian friend's comment or whatever it takes. God, even the people around us in our workplace, our neighborhood, God, that we would see salvation come to those around us in Jesus' name. Lord, we're crying out again for Morayfield. God, that the issues of addiction and brokenness and even generational welfare would be broken off of this suburb and the surrounding suburbs. And God, I pray that the church, the children of God, would rise up. Lord, that you would help us to be your hands and feet. Lord, that you would resource us, that you would inspire us, Lord. God, that you would activate the passion in our hearts to do what you have called us to do. Lord, I pray that we'd be stirred up to pray again for things that can only be done with your power. Lord, that we would be believing again for miracles to take place in our lives. God, that we would recognize that promotion comes only from you, not east, not west, but from you above. above. Lord, I pray that we would pray to see the sick healed. And Lord, that we would pray to see people that are dying raised back to life. God, that we would see people that are too far gone. Lord, that they'd be won back into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Lord, issues of visas and rental places and homes and car issues. Lord, that we would see your resource flowing. And God, that we would see the lifestyle of abundance that you promised to us. Lord, that we would see so many people around our table, so many people coming into church. Oh, Heavenly Father, we cry out again for Morayfield, for our suburbs of Elimba, Caboolture, Upper Caboolture, Narangba, Burpengary. Burpengary's, come on, would you cry out for your suburb even right now, that the power of God would be seen around us in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to see your hand at work. God, that our neighbors would know that you are alive. Come on, that our G-O-D is B-I-G. Come on, Lord, would your hand be seen at work? God, that they would know that you love them, that you're for them, you're not against them, Lord, that there is hope, there is reason, there is life, there is joy. God, there is more for them than what they're even going through right now in their lives. Heavenly Father, we cry out again and again and again. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Come on, church, can I encourage you to cry out again? Come on, your persistence will be rewarded. Put your faith in Jesus, not in stuff, not in someone, not in no one or nowhere else, but Jesus. And would you cry out again and again and again and again? And even when it looks impossible, like it was impossible for so many of the Old Testament and even the New Testament moments, what did they do? They cried out again. So keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. Come on, keep on believing. Come on, let's pray. Let's cry out again. Let's fill our life with the truth of the Word of God and let's go. Come on, let's run. Let's not get weary of doing what is good, of doing what is right. Come on, you got to believe the truth of the Word of God, and let me declare that verse over us this morning. Come on, he won't be mocked. Galatians 6:9. Don't get tired of doing what is good. At just the right moment, you will reap a harvest if we don't give up. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Before I release this, we got free cafe, as always. That's for those of you who are new. And we love fellowship time. We love sticking around. Maybe write some more testimonies up on the wall. Go and be encouraged by them. Do whatever it takes this week to cry out again, church. Put a reminder in your phone to pop up every day to believe for maybe even things that you've stopped believing for, because your God is huge, wonderful, and awesome and mighty. And don't just cry out for yourself. Come on, cry out for the person next to you. Cry out for the person next to them. Come on, that we would see the hand of God at work. Amen? If you're in this place and you don't have personal relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you today to start that relationship with Jesus. If you know that you don't have the love of God in your life and you want it, come on, every Christian, would just pray just for a moment. Just close your eyes and just pray. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't have personal relationship with him, he wants it with you. And right now, what I want to do is give you an opportunity to start that relationship with him, to give him your life. And I can promise you, it's not just the best decision for today, but the Bible says he will come and he'll dwell within you. And you have someone that will never leave you and never forsake you, and he'll help you in everything. Home, work, study, life, body, everything. So if that's you, to choose Jesus today, I want to encourage you right now, wherever you are, where everyone else is praying for you, to raise your hand and say, yep, I want to choose Jesus today. So I look across this place. Thank you so much. That's awesome. So good. One hand over there. Anyone else want to join this lady? Come on, your heart might be racing. You might be thinking, man, I'm not sure. Can you give God a go? Would you give him an opportunity to do life with you? Anyone else? Well, come on, church. Just celebrate and encourage this person. Let's pray together. Come on. That's so good. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's pray. Dear Jesus, today I give my life to you and forevermore. Take my life and make it the best it can be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate them again? So good. It's awesome.